This is Archer of ArcherRadio.com, and today is Friday, June 16th, 2006. And on today's show, it's going to be Friday with Chef Mark of the Remarkable Palate Podcast and Remarkably Mark. I know that people enjoy having him on the show, and I definitely enjoy chatting with him. So we're going to give him a call and just chat and see what's going on with him. So let's give Chef Mark a call.
Good evening.
Good evening. How are you?
Hi there. I'm good.
Good. For the listeners, this is Chef Mark of the...
Orale, vato. ¿Cómo estás?
...of the Remarkable Palate Podcast and Remarkably Mark.
Sí.
Now, what did you just... What did you just say?
I said, orale, vato. That means kind of like, what's up, dude?
What's up, dude? Mark is referring to the Hispanic man who touched me on Wednesday at the CVS.
Touch me in the morning.
So you think
then
he...
Then just walk away.
Ooh, what a good singer you are.
Or I should say, touch me in the drugstore.
So do you think he was just hitting on me?
Who knows? ¿Quién sabe?
Oh, you know what I should do? I don't know if you'll be able to hear this, but let me play the voicemail that you left.
Oh, okay.
Wait, who left
you a voicemail?
I don't know, some guy. I don't know if you'll be able to hear.
I didn't leave you no voicemail.
Let's see.
Maybe it was my cousin.
I don't know. Let's see if you can hear this as I hear this. I'm going to click play. Okay, here we go.
Orale ese. I'm the vato that was standing behind you in the supermarket. You know, I was standing so close to you because you're a sexy man. You know, I really go for these, like, Asian-looking types that wear plaid shirts. You know what I'm talking about? So don't assume that people don't have no boundary issues, because maybe they're just trying to cruise you, ese. Bueno, adios.
Did you hear that?
I didn't, but oh. I didn't want to speak up just in case, you know, I didn't want to interrupt it just in case your listeners were actually hearing it.
To give you a little background, because I'm sure you don't know anything about it, I was talking on Thursday's show about my personal space and being touched by this Hispanic man who was behind me in line. And
touch me, you Latino.
And I guess he found my number and called and said that he was really just cruising me because he thought I was hot because he likes those Asian-looking guys with plaid shirts.
Exactly.
Can you believe that? I don't know how he got my number.
Those macho men are always on the make. Those Latinos. Yeah.
So,
touch me. I want to be dirty.
Oh, you're referring to Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Yes. Oh, my God. I was such a Rocky Horror Picture Show queen when I was in high school and college.
I was going to say, in high school, I used to go like almost every Saturday night.
Yeah. How many times did you see it?
Oh, my God. I can't even count. Probably 100 or so.
Yeah.
I mean, somewhere around 100.
I went at least 150 times over my high school career.
Yeah, and the funny thing is, our Latin teacher used to take us, or would meet us there, because she lived in the city.
Really?
And, yeah, we would go to this theater in Georgetown, and they always had a midnight showing on Friday nights, and we would meet our Latin teacher there and you know, watch the movie and do all the
crazy
stuff.
And did she say, like... travestium ergo sum, I wear drag, therefore I am?
No, I don't think she did. She was just a fun lady. Just a fun lady.
Oh, wow. How crazy. Did you hear that? That was my phone ringing.
Oh, do you want to answer it?
No, I'll get it. Oh, that's my little brother calling me back. I'll get it later.
Okay.
I called him this morning saying, look, you know, we have to get my dad a present. So, like, you go pick something out and I'll pay for it. But we had to be really, he said, oh, dad's in the room. So we started talking about Lost to throw him off the scent.
That's a good idea.
Because we're both all into Lost.
So you must have heard my little reminder about Father's Day on the show today that made you think.
That was literally, I was stretching. I was out on the street stretching. We were going to go for a run, me and Steva. And I heard you talking about that. And I said, oh, shit. So I put it on pause and I called my brother. And then after the phone call, I resumed listening to your show and we went for a run.
Very good. Well, today's show wasn't the greatest. I was just talking about crap stuff, really. But
no, it's cute.
But you know, I don't listen to my show until I have time at the very end of all my podcast listening. So the first show I listened to today was John Ong's show.
And really? What's that whore up to?
Well, that whore had on this really hot Latina guy. Latino guy, I guess it is.
Really?
Yeah. No, it was you.
Oh, okay. Oh, my God.
And as I'm listening to that show, I'm thinking, damn, that whore is making the rounds. He's getting on everybody's show.
Hey, it's like when, you know, on Hollywood, when they've got new movies coming out, you know, they're on every fucking talk show.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Telling the same stupid story.
Yeah. But that was
that's
a good...
me. That was the same stupid stories.
Yeah, that was a good show. Now, I'm trying to think if it was on your show or if it was on John's show, because now they've kind of merged together. I can't remember.
Well, I'll tell you a little secret. We recorded my show, and then we hit stop, and then we recorded his show. So it was all one long, it was all one really long conversation.
In the podcasting world, I knew that.
Right, yeah. Sorry to break the fourth wall there.
Yes. Seriously, tell all the listeners how we do it. Thanks a lot.
Yeah.
No, but you guys were talking
about... There's my phone again.
Oh, I'm
sorry. Can you hear this? Can you hear the ringtone?
Oh, it's Sesame Street.
Yep.
Get how to get to Sesame Street.
I'll turn off the ringer now.
You're just such a popular guy, I'm telling
you.
No,
it's only... It's weird. Like, I could go hours, days, weeks with getting no phone calls, and then everyone calls at the same time.
Oh, see, I barely get any phone calls. Yeah,
that is. I'm a when it rains, it pours kind of guy.
Yeah.
I'm like the kid on the side of the salt shaker bottle.
So I was saying that you guys were talking about music, and I heard how you kind of like snuck it in there, like you would like John to create some music for you, or like
yep,
or to remix some music for you.
I know.
And he was very diplomatic by, you know, saying that, well, you know, I have to have a connection with the person or listen to the show in a certain way or something. And I'm thinking, John, you're so diplomatic. Just go ahead and make him some music.
No, well, but I mean, truthfully, he when does he have time?
You know, no, that's
so
true.
So I mean, yeah, I'm not going to press it, but that was sweet. That was very sweet of him. And, you know, like you said, it's really inspiration, you know, for him. It really has to do with how the inspiration goes.
Exactly. So, yeah. Well, I noticed that on your second show with John Ong, you've got a couple comments already on there too.
Yeah, yeah. And I put up my third show this morning.
I know. Now you're going to just
it's a walking tour of Chelsea.
You're just going to saturate the podcast world with Remarkably Mark.
Make them sick of me. That's the key. Now, make them sick of you.
No, 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 no. Now, unfortunately, you posted that after I'd already gone to work, so I have not listened to that yet today.
Okay.
But well, I certainly will.
Fine. Yeah. Yeah.
But now I was looking at the website because now, of course, I have you bookmarked so that you come up automatically every day when I do my little, you know, looking at everybody's website.
Making the rounds.
Exactly. And I haven't listened to the show, but what's this Project Archive? What is that about?
No, it's Project Achieve.
I'm done. Look at that.
That's
Achieve,
okay.
Of course it is.
It's small. It's small writing. It's okay. You know, you're no spring chicken anymore.
I'm telling you, and believe it or not, no, you're right. I wear reading glasses, and I'm looking at the screen thinking, you know how your mind automatically thinks it's one word, but really it's another.
Do you look like a school marm when you wear you put them sort of down on the end of your nose?
That's exactly what I do, too.
Chirons, when you teach the chirons?
Oh, actually, I don't wear them at school, no.
Oh, no?
I only wear them to read at home, like when I'm reading books and stuff.
Project Achieve is... Now, there's an acronym, and I guess if you go to the website, you can figure out, it'll tell you exactly. I think it's a community health initiative something, vaccine something. Anyway, it's a project.
AIDS community health initiative en route to a vaccine effort.
There you go. Okay. Yeah. And it's the idea is that they're trying to come up with a vaccine. And so for the last several years, they've been doing all these different studies leading up. And then in the last year or so, they've actually been finally in the vaccine portion of the trials where they're actually testing out vaccines.
Uh-huh.
And so the reason I put that up as a link on the site there is because as I was walking down 8th Avenue, this Latino guy came up to me and I was wearing a t-shirt that said España, and he says, España! And then so he started, and they had a little table set up on the street and they were asking people questions. You know, they're basically trying to sign up people to join in this vaccine study. So knowing that I was sort of, you know, I had my binaural microphones in, so you know, people couldn't tell that I was recording because they just thought that I was wearing headphones, right? So
right.
I thought, oh, this is perfect. My listeners can hear all about Project Achieve, and they can get involved if they're interested. So we went through. He asked me all these questions, you know. And then the funny thing is that he was like, okay, so you want to, like, sign up and do the thing? And I'm like,
no.
But I didn't want, you know, I wanted to move on, right? You know, because then he was going to have to ask me, like, actual, really, like, super personal questions that I'm not going to about to put out on the podcast, right?
Exactly.
And so I just said, okay, well, I'll just take this piece of paper and I'll call. He's like, oh, but you can fill out the thing right here. I'm like, no, it's okay. He's like, well, why not?
Oh, God.
I said, I just don't feel like it right now. Toodaloo.
So you didn't let him know the whole time that he was being recorded?
I didn't. I walked away after that.
Oh.
I'm bad.
You are bad. No,
hey, I'm promoting their cause.
That's true. That's true.
And the next guy that came right after me is that DJ who I've been using his music as my little theme music.
Oh, yeah.
And so it's that little bit with him. And I told him about that I was recording because I said, hey, look, tell us your website and blah, blah, blah. And I said, oh, by the way, I'm recording this for my podcast. And here's the skinny.
Well, I'm definitely going to have to listen to it now.
Yeah, so. It's kind of cool. And there's a little snippet. It was hard. Oh, man. This guy walked by me, and I recognized his voice, and it was a guy from TV. And so I'm, like, keeping up the pace to try to, like, capture what he's saying. Of course, he didn't say anything else after that. So, but I mentioned who the fellow from TV is. So if people listen to the show, they'll get a...
Yeah, don't tell us here.
Who the guy is. Yeah, no, I got it. Hey, I got
to... listen to Remarkably Mark. That's right. And you will find out. Well,
leave him hanging.
Okay, I have a couple questions for you.
Okay.
Have you ever been out to Fire Island?
Yeah. I did 3 summers there.
Oh, cool. Because I was watching on Logo Channel. Do you guys get Logo up there?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, did they run that? Did they finally run that documentary?
Yeah, it's called Great Ocean Meets the Sky or something like that. Ocean
God,
Meets the
I
Sky.
Hope they didn't, I hope they didn't show me in the meat rack.
I don't know, but they did. I can't say that I saw you, but what they did...
They must have pixelated the faces.
I'm not sure. But they... it was a documentary about the history of Fire Island.
Isn't it fascinating?
It was amazing.
Yeah.
However, I was a little disappointed.
I'm sorry that I missed that, but, you know, they run things 20,000 times on
yeah.
Logo, so I'm sure I'll see it again.
Yeah, they will. They'll show it again. But I was a little surprised that the mention of AIDS, because I was thinking about the Project Achieve thing that you were just talking about, that they only had, like, about a little five-minute segment or maybe 10-minute segment about AIDS when the whole show was an hour and a half long.
Oh,
and
really?
It seems like AIDS had really hit... Fire Island enough to keep people away, you know, from going.
Hell yeah. Well, not to keep people away, but I mean, it really devastated Fire Island. I mean, you know, a lot of these, you know, I mean, we're talking about, you know, in the early 80s, the gay sort of conoscenti were, you know, there was this whole class of moneyed gay people.
Oh, yeah.
That were in all the arts and were doing really well. You know, they were in the arts, they were in design, they were in publishing, they were in fashion. And they were doing really well. And so they had money to go out to Fire Island, and they had all these beautiful, gorgeous houses. And, you know, a huge number of them got sick and died.
Right.
And, yeah, no, AIDS really hit Fire Island hard. And there's still, to this day, some really great community stuff around that, you know, and around raising money. And,
right. They did mention,
you know,
that...
FIPOA, the Fire Island Pines Property Owners Association, does some good fundraising for AIDS. There's an organization called SAGE, which is Senior
right.
Action in a Gay Environment, and they have a little stuff going on there. In fact, they even raised money, and they have these carts, these electric carts that they got that were small enough to fit on the boardwalks that they use. It's like a taxi service for the seniors that are out there.
Oh, cool.
And I think it's really cool, yeah.
Well, I just thought that whole documentary, because, you know, as I have mentioned before, the month of June, I watch all the gay documentaries on TV and stuff, so I really enjoyed that from where it basically said that Fire Island started out as this very tiny community of straight people, and then slowly the gay people, you know, have moved in. But there was
it's important to show the distinction. Like, Fire Island itself is this 18-mile-long sandbar, essentially, that is between Long Island and the ocean. I mean, you know, there's the ocean, then there's Fire Island, and then there's the Great South Bay, and then there's the rest of Long Island. And so Fire Island isn't just one little community. It's actually, I think, 10 or 12 different communities, and there's only two of them that are gay. You know, I mean, it's like the old Pines and Cherry Grove, and the old sort of cliche is, oh, Fire Island, it's this gay place. But the truth is, most of the communities are not gay communities. You know,
right? But they did this section where they were talking to all of these really old residents, and like there was this one lady who was 104 years old, and she loved the gays.
You can't live anywhere near the Pines and Cherry Grove and be homophobic. I mean, it's just sort of stupid. I mean, it's like, what's the point? You know, I mean, because, the Pines and Cherry Grove are predominantly gay. Now, the Pines is almost 100% gay and male.
There's very few
lesbians that are there. And the Pines is wealthier. You know, it's sort of the rich guys that live there. Cherry Grove is a little more... is a little more mixed, and it's an older community. The houses aren't as big and as fancy and as nice, and it's very mixed. It's a little more mixed ethnically, and it's a little more mixed. There are a lot more women, and it's also there's a lot more straight people in Cherry Grove than there are in the Pines. You know, the Pines, it's very few straight people, and then you know most of the other communities are mostly straight. You know. But sometimes what happens is people will go between the various communities on Fire Island just, you know, for the day, just for fun, to go to a particular club, and they use the water taxis because to walk between the communities is a long, long walk. You know?
So there are no cars on the island?
There are no cars. No, the only place that cars are allowed is at the very end at the Robert Moses State Park where the lighthouse is.
Okay.
There's a bridge and the cars can get in there, but you can't. I mean, the whole length of Fire Island is a protected national seashore.
It's run
by the Park Service. And in fact, it's difficult because it's a protected national seashore, but there's these communities that sort of punctuate it. And there is, you know, there's been at times tension between the National Park Service and the community associations because, you know, people want to develop and they want to put stuff on their property or near the beach, and you know, the Park Service is there to protect it, you know, and so there's that kind of tension. But so essentially you've got this long national seashore that's sort of punctuated by little areas of private communities.
Yeah.
And then in between are protected, well, they're public nature zones, but they're very, they're protected, you know, they're supposed to
be. So nothing
can
be built there, obviously.
Nothing can be built there. And, you know, you can't even, you're not supposed to walk on the dunes because they're very fragile and you can destroy them. And, you know, they try to, they put like those fences there where the sands will build up, and they try to plant grasses to sort of make the dunes more more stable. And then they'll do these dredging projects. I mean, they did this giant multi-million-dollar dredging project a couple summers ago where they were literally dredging sand out of the bottom of the water there and building up the beach. Because there's a lot of erosion. You know, there's really a lot of erosion.
When was the last time you were there?
I spent 3 summers out there, and I didn't go last summer, and I'm not going this summer. So it was two years ago that I was out there.
And okay, that's when you were with your partner, so you probably didn't have a lot of sex. Well, maybe with your partner you did, but
no comment.
Okay. All
well,
right.
No, I mean, you know, we had an open relationship. So.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, we did. I thought we talked about this before.
No, well, maybe we did, but I don't remember that.
Yeah.
An open relationship. Okay, that's interesting.
But it's, you know, it's a fun, interesting place, and there's some fun, interesting people.
Yeah.
And I'm sure they talked about the meat rack and all that.
Oh, yeah, they showed like, archival footage of all these different places and stuff, and I don't remember them all, but yeah, they did.
Yeah.
So.
You know, the meat rack is basically, like, the forest area in between the Pines and Cherry Grove, and it's, you know, it's, there are lots of little quiet little dark
areas,
places,
yeah.
And, you know, that late at night people go to.
Now they did talk to the guy who produced the porn. Now I can't think of the name of it, but it's got I just recognized it because I actually have this porn video.
The Michael Lucas stuff?
No, it's Something in the Sand or.
Oh, Boys in the Sand.
Boys in the Sand.
Wakefield Pool.
Yeah.
That classic old movie.
Yes, that was filmed there.
Wakefield Pool, from the 70s, back in its heyday, back in the pre-AIDS era.
Exactly. So
wow.
I like that porn. 70s porn is my favorite.
Did you happen to see the film Gay Sex in the 70s that came out this last year?
No.
It did the round of the film festivals. And the reason I ask, I haven't seen it yet either, but the reason I ask is because the man who produced and directed that film, is named Joe Lovett, and I had actually I did a shoot for him once. Like, when I was an actor, I did this what's called an industrial film. An industrial is anything that is going to be shot and not not released as a commercial type thing. So okay. a television show or a film or something is commercial, right? And industrial is something like, for example, if you shoot a video that's going to be like a corporate video that's going to be shown to employees,
right?
Or
right.
if you show something that's a training video that would be sent out with, say, a product that you buy,
yeah.
Or you know, stuff like that. Those are called industrials. And this industrial I shot was actually an interesting thing. It was part of an AIDS educational foundation out of New Jersey, and they were using these videos as an accompaniment to a training program that they were using in some of their sessions with people about how to negotiate revealing. To your potential sexual partners that you may be HIV positive.
Oh.
And so they basically wrote all these scripts, right? And they hired all these actors to sort of play out all these various different situations. And so the part that I was this guy, and we had got on a few dates, and we were starting to like each other, and it was like, and then I was the character who had to tell the guy that I was HIV positive, and like how, you know, and there's sort of like these sort of moments of, you know, me thinking, you know, in my head, and sort of what I was thinking to myself, like, oh, he's gonna hate me, he's gonna kick me out, blah, blah. And then, you know, and then sort of there's like the different, like the one ending and then the second ending. So like if you choose this way, it, you know, this is how it goes, or if you choose. And so they used these videos in this sort of training program or in these seminars. So anyway, this guy is, you know, he's a filmmaker, and he had been hired to do this shoot, and I worked for him, and he was very, very good director to work with. And so then he actually produced this film, Gay Sex in the 70s, which I guess he had been working on for several years, and it's won all these awards now. And it's just such a small world because, as people know, I'm a personal chef, and right. last year I was at the national conference of the USPCA, which is the United States Personal Chef Association, and the mm-hmm. conference was in Atlanta, Georgia. And there's a woman that I had corresponded with several times on the message boards who lives out in LA, and she's a personal chef. And I don't know how the conversation came around to this, but we discovered that Joe Lovett is her uncle.
Oh my gosh.
And that she had lived with him for a couple of summers when she was in school, and she came to visit her uncle and his boyfriend in the city. And it's such a small world, you know.
That's
so
wild.
Bizarre. You know, that is so funny. I'm like, yeah, oh my God, I know him. And, you know, I worked for him.
That is so wild. It is a small world, that's for sure.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay,
so
time.
That's a long way around to talking from talking about your little logo thing.
That's okay, though.
On Fire Island.
See how you good play, you are?
Going out of the show, you can play that Village People song about Fire Island.
Oh, well, no, I probably won't because I'm trying to be pod safe.
Don't go in the bushes.
All right, time to change topics now.
Okay. Hot topics.
Well, this is going to be kind of a roundabout way to get to the question, but my personal blog has been listed on the best gay blogs. I don't know if you're familiar with that.
Oh, wow.
But it's listed in the adult section of the All best right. gay blogs on the in the sidebar. And the
as
reason,
opposed to the pedophile section.
Or no, just as opposed to like people who write a lot. Because
I know, I'm kidding.
Okay. Mine's posted there because I post naked pictures of men on my website.
Yeah, I noticed that. Yeah, and pictures of bruises.
Right, yeah. So I go there every once in a while just to check out, see what the links are, because this guy's got a ton of links. And I was clicking around yesterday, and I found this one called NathanExposed.com.
Okay.
And I go there, and I'm perusing through his posts, and I see one on June 9th that basically, I guess the title is something like Poopy or something like that. I'm thinking, oh, great, it's a bathroom story. So I'm reading down, and actually it ends up being like a question thing. And so now here's the question for you that I read on this guy's blog. It says, do you sit down to pee? Because, you know, that seems like a big thing now.
No, I'm a man.
So you stand up to pee. Well, because, you know, on a recent episode of Will and Grace a while ago. With, what's the guy's name? Matt Lauer, didn't he sit down to pee?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And as soon
well,
as
it's
I...
so funny that you mentioned that because that's the reason why people should listen to the latest episode of my podcast.
Oh, really?
To that show.
Very interesting. Well, I'll definitely have to listen now.
Definitely. So sitting down to pee, I mean, there's like problems with it. as you can imagine, you know.
What? What would be the problems to sit down to pee?
Well, because things will get wet.
Oh, well then the next question is, do you wipe your penis after you've sat down to pee? Like, do you...
I don't sit down to pee because I don't like dipping my penis into stanky water.
Oh my God. Your penis is that long that it touches the water.
That reminds me of a funny story. Okay. You know, I went to Yale, right? Yeah. So it's like, you know,
actually,
the whole Yale-Harvard thing, right?
Stop. What? I actually heard that today on John Ong's show, and I don't remember you telling me that you went to Yale. And when I heard that, I'm like, oh my God, no wonder the man is so smart.
No wonder Yale is so great. It's because someone like me went there. No, I'm just kidding.
There you go.
Okay, so, you know, there's a whole rivalry, Yale and Harvard. Okay, so it's the big Yale-Harvard game, right?
Uh-huh.
And it's halftime, right? Okay, so this guy, you know, they've been drinking, and they're having a good time. He goes into the bathroom to pee.
Uh-huh.
And so he's standing there peeing, and he finishes. He does his thing, and he gets up to leave. And the guy who was standing next to him in the crimson sweater says to him, "Oh dear, you know, at Harvard, they teach us to wash our hands after we pee." And the Yale guy turns to him and he says, "Yeah, and at Yale, they teach us not to piss on our hands."
That's very good. That's very good. Oh gosh.
Anyway, yeah, no, I just don't. I don't like the idea of sitting down to pee.
Yeah,
I've never done it.
I don't either. You know, I don't sit down to pee either. Not even when I'm drunk or tired or anything. I just don't.
Drunk.
You know?
I can't stand up. No, the problem with when you're drunk is that you'll miss the bowl.
Well, that too, yeah.
You know, you do that teeter-tottery kind of thing, you know?
Yeah. Too funny. Well, so listen, do you have any big plans for the weekend?
Not huge. I mean, got it here. You can tell I'm so. Ooh, I got so much going on. Let me look
you
at
have
my
to
schedule.
Work.
Oh yeah, actually Saturday I have a big dinner. I have a big dinner that I'm doing, and it's actually an interesting thing. It's a I'm donating my services. It was a an auction thing for a fundraiser for an organization.
Cool.
And the people who won it was they packaged a dinner for eight with a sommelier and salsa lessons.
Oh.
And the people who won it paid like, I don't know, $4,000 or something like that.
Wow.
$4,000 or $5,000 for it. So I'm going to be cooking this dinner for eight. So
now, when you donate your services, does somebody else pay for the food?
Yeah, in this case, the charity is paying for the basic food costs.
Very good.
And I'm, you know, I'm donating my time and my expertise.
And your skills, yeah.
And the nice thing, they're going to have a photographer there who will document it, and then they're going to send it out to their whole mailing list of people who had attended the gala, and then just, you know, their general mailing list is like, you know, this is what one of the people who won the auction, this is what they got, and here's the company that provided the service and all this. So hopefully it'll be a nice little plug for my business.
Oh,
so
I'm sure
in that
it will
regard,
be.
It will make it worth it, you know, because it's pretty, a Saturday night in the middle of the summer is kind of, you know, it's like prime. That's prime dinner
party time.
Party real estate kind of, you know. So, but it should be fun. It seems like a nice crowd, and I think he's going to have a real relaxed kind of party atmosphere. And he has this big loft space in Soho, so it's a big open kitchen. So
Oh, cool.
I think that the guests, you know, obviously will be able to watch me. And I said, you know, if they're interested, then we can do a little bit of a demo kind of thing, you know, and see sort of how the they can see how the preparation goes for the menu.
Very good.
Yeah.
All right.
What about you guys? Do you guys have big plans?
We are going to two wineries on Saturday, and I don't know what we're doing on Sunday. I don't think we've really even made any plans for Sunday. I'll be tired, so I'm sure we'll just relax.
You'll be hungover. So.
No, hungover. It's wineries as usual. So.
Yeah. Well, good. Okay.
Yeah. So I'm going to end the show now.
Okay. And I'm going to go to the drugstore and go stand next to people.
And touch them.
Yeah.
Or let them touch
actually,
you.
Actually, no, it's funny because listening to that whole thing, I have that same thing. I have a personal space thing. I'm like, you know, unless I know you and like you, or I think I'm going to like you.
Right.
I don't want you too close to me.
Exactly. You know, it's just a weird feeling.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I share your lateness peeve, by the way, too.
My what?
Your lateness pet peeve.
Oh, yes.
People who are late.
Oh, my God. Yes. Well, as we know, Miss Penang has a different opinion about being late.
Yeah.
Anyway, all right. Well, thank you. Thank you so much for being on my show again. You know what?
Okay.
I might have to start doing this every Friday and just call it like Friday with Chef Mark or something.
Okay, no problem.
All right. Well, listen, you have a great weekend.
Talk to you later.
All right. Bye-bye. Okay, so that was our chat with Chef Mark of the Remarkable Palate Podcast and Remarkably Mark, and he's posted his third show, so you need to go and download his third show and check it out. All right, boys and girls, that's all for today. So have a great weekend, and we will talk with you on Monday. Bye-bye. Archer Radio.